War Room, Pandemic. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Okay, before we get Rudy on, we got to pivot, but this is another major story by the great team at Revolver and Darren Beatty. Darren, I want you to come on, and we're going to put this up in the live chat. Walk us through what's going on at the Pentagon, and really this is emblematic of threat or government. Walk us through this massive study you've got, this report, investigative report you've got going on at Revolver.
Well, this disturbing development that you're reporting about the DOJ using this security voter intimidation predicate to prevent us from discovering what actually happened in Arizona, we see the equivalent in every major institution in the United States, including perhaps most troubling in the United States military. This bombshell expose at revolver.news is blowing up. It's going to get even bigger. We found the hatchet man responsible for the entire ideological vetting operation of the United States Defense Forces. His name is Bishop Garrison. You have to read the whole piece at revolver.news to get the full story, but this guy is a critical race theory zealot, huge proponent of the notorious 1619 Project, huge proponent of the Black Lives Matter movement, proponent of the all kinds of riots that have been going on. He wants to reshape, reconfigure, reimagine our defense forces as a woke Praetorian guard for the Biden regime. It's more terrifying than even I had anticipated.
Well, this is shocking. They weaponized DOJ. We know it's been weaponized from day one, but they weaponized DOJ. They're trying to take Rudy off the playing board they're trying to take him off, the guy who kind of started it, with action from Gettysburg to Phoenix to Georgia to Wisconsin to Pennsylvania to Michigan. Action. And now inside of, and particularly since there's so many veterans, the MAGA movement is made up of so many veterans and patriots that serve their country in law enforcement. Walk us through who this guy is and how did a guy like this, with this radical theory, this kind of I hate America, how did that get mixed up into the major institution that supports American values here and abroad?
No, it's a troubling and deeply important story. I think, Revolver.news, you guys, we've been at the forefront of exposing this trend of the national security apparatus getting weaponized against the American people. We've all basically known that when they talk about quote unquote extremism, they mean you, they mean me, they mean grandpa who is against open borders, they mean anyone who would dare to demand election security and know what actually happened in those ballot counting rooms in Arizona. That's what they mean by extremists. We've always expected that. But in the man and in the opinions and in the public pronouncements of Bishop Garrison, who's running this ideological vetting operation, we have proof. The proof is terrifying. It's fully laid out at revolver.news. He promotes Black Lives Matter, and he adopts this silence is violence posture. It's not enough for him. He, of course, says anyone who's remotely adjacent to Trump is a hater. And given his position, he's not just a left-wing nut job on Twitter. This is the ideological veteran-in-chief for the United States military. And so when he says something like anyone associated with Trump is racist, that means something in terms of the position he has. That means that nobody who's friendly to the Trump movement has any place in the United States military. When he says that it's dangerous when Mike Pompeo criticizes the virulently anti-American 1619 movement, he's saying that anyone who does not subscribe to his critical theory, anti-white, anti-American ideology, is a national security threat. Not just someone who disagrees with him, but a national security threat who has no place in the United States military and who deserves the full force of the security apparatus actuated against him.
This is what you see him playing out on CNN and MSNBC all the time. They take this and amplify it. Talk to us, we got 4 or 5 minutes to go. But I want to find out who is Garrison himself. Walk us through who he is, what he believes, how he even got here.
Well, Garrison himself, like the other major, this is a major expose on Revolver.News, one of the major ones. The previous huge expose that put the whole color revolution story on the map, this was the story of a man called Norm Eisen. Now, Norm Eisen, we have pictures of Norm Eisen sitting down with Bishop Garrison and so forth. Norm Eisen, I will give him enough credit to say that he's a genuine mastermind. He is an evil fellow. Bishop Garrison is what some might call a sub-mediocrity. He's not a mastermind of anything, but that doesn't mean we need to dismiss him for the damage that he's doing in his specific role. He's been a partisan hack. He was a Hillary guy. He's involved in various think tanks. Associated with this new grift, but really more dangerous than a grift, essentially framing the woke agenda, framing the critical race theory agenda as a national security imperative. And through various mechanisms, his entire career trajectory has basically been framing all of the anti-American dogma you hear about being taught in the schools, framing that as a national security imperative. And unfortunately, he's not just some nut job on Twitter now pontificating about how white people are evil. He is the defense secretary's man in charge of the vetting operation for the United States military.
One of the reasons you see this movement on fire, it's at school boards. And the school board situation is that we had one of the people from the live chat yesterday. We played her video about her, what she was doing down in Duval County in Jacksonville, putting people on notice, right, about mask wearing, but also critical race theory. We've had so many mothers come on here and these different organizations there to they're gonna take down critical race theory at the school board level. I want to go back to Eisen because he's a color revolution guy. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think he's the Harvard Politics Institute guy that I think kicked Stefanik off. Isn't Eisen somehow also associated with the whole Harvard situation, and his power derives from he's in all these different organizations, he's got his hands in and really controls it from there?
A Harvard thing, I don't know for a fact. He does have various NGO and kind of cutouts designed for the purposes of effectuating different aspects of the color revolution. His most prominent organization is a lawfare organization called CRU, which you've probably heard of, and it's been responsible for hundreds of suits. He could very well be affiliated with some Harvard offshoot or other academic outposts, but his most notorious operation is CRU. And he, unlike Bishop Garrison, although they're both extremely dangerous, Norm Eisen, whom I've followed, is an actual mastermind. He is actually sophisticated. Bishop Garrison might be even more dangerous because he doesn't really know what he's saying, but he's doing tremendous damage to the United States military and to the country.
How can our audience, how can we push back on this? What is the way to stop this dead in its tracks? What would you recommend for people?
Well, this is kind of similar to Norm Eisen. Is Norm Eisen, until Revolver exposed him, was, if he got any press at all, it was to basically kiss his butt. He was beloved. Same thing with Bishop Garrison. These people are extremely sensitive to being exposed and being criticized. So just now, having his name out there, having Bishop Garrison's name out there as a dangerous hatchet man, as a mediocrity, and as someone who's doing tremendous damage to the country, simply putting him in the spotlight, I promise you, it terrifies him, it annoys him to no end, and he deserves, for once, he's putting the entire country on the spotlight and suggesting we're domestic terrorists. Putting the spotlight on him does tremendous.
Hang on one second. I just want to bring you back after a short break. We're also going to have Rudy Giuliani. I want to bring you back because we got to push this story out hard. We're going to return with Darren Beatty, Revolver.News. Short commercial break. Rudy Giuliani on the situation in Arizona and the rest of the country next. We're
Pandemic with Stephen K. Bannon.
The epidemic is a demon, and we cannot let this demon hide.
War Room Pandemic. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Okay, I want to turn back now to Darren Beatty, the great team over Revolver.News. Another explosive story. And folks, you got to understand, with limited resources to do this level of investigative reporting, and this is critical, particularly to every veteran, every parent of a veteran, every friend of a veteran, or an active duty service member, this is outrageous what is happening at the Department of Defense. It is a disgrace to this nation. It's a disgrace. Okay? It's a disgrace. Darren Beatty, sum up this story and tell the audience what support you need today to get this story out everywhere.
Well, the story is shocking. I don't always like doing these exposés, but I think it's necessary, and especially because, you know, we need a top-level military fighting force. Top-level military officials have said this is one of the most terrifying things they've ever seen. In a nutshell, we've got the equivalent of Ibram Kendi in charge of ideologically vetting the United States military. It's one of the biggest investigative stories we've done. Go to Revolver.News, read the whole thing, share it with friends and family, but especially share it with friends and family who are currently in the United States military or are veterans of the United States military. They deserve to know what this man is about. The American people deserve to know what this man is about. So please read it and share it, no matter how disturbing it is.
Darren, real quickly, how do people get to you during the day and follow you?
Can get to me at Darren J. Beatty at Twitter, DarrenJBeattie, and as always at Revolver.News.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. American patriot.
Thank you.
And hero, Darren Beatty and the team over Revolver.News. I now want to go to talk about standing in the breach. So easy to quit, so easy to roll over, so easy when the mafia families threaten his life. No, didn't back off. Crush the five families. Crush the corrupt mafia, the controlling Wall Street, Mike Milken and that crowd, became the great mayor of New York, saw us through 9/11, the 20th anniversary, it's coming up. Never asked for any credit, never asked for any money, any resources, never cashed in on any of it, none of it. Always in the service of his country. The mayor, Rudy Giuliani, now being attacked from every aspect of it. And here's what's most outrageous. The Biden administration has now been stripped of exactly what they're doing. They've weaponized. They're trying to completely, radically change the Department of Defense and our armed services, turn it into a Praetorian Guard. And they have radically weaponized the Department of Justice against individuals. You saw this out in Homer, Alaska, where the FBI goons kicked down the door, handcuffed American citizens. And then, oops, we made a mistake. We're going to have that couple on and go through in detail. Raheem's podcast does a great job. We're going to have him on, too. Rudy Giuliani, whose lawyer is working with him. No, 6 o'clock in the morning for a FARA violation? Are you kidding me? After seeing the hard drive of the Biden family, the Hunter Biden's hard drive from hell, the absolute compromise and corruption of that family and cash money taken by a transnational criminal organization that is the Chinese Communist Party and their state-owned industries. And now, last night, the Justice Department, they're scared to the marrow of their bones. And you know why? They understand MAGA is not going to back down one inch to get to the bottom of what happened on the 3rd of November and days thereafter. Rudy Giuliani, you've had the opportunity now to review these letters. You saw Katie Hobbs, the Department of Justice. What is your assessment, sir?
My assessment is they should go back to law school. They have no power to interfere with the state legislature conducting this inquiry. The Constitution of the United States, in no uncertain terms, is total plenary power to the state legislature. It was decided in 1892, if they read court opinions instead of acted as political henchmen, they'd read McPherson versus Blacker, which says that the state legislature has plenary power to regulate the presidential election. And at any time, even if they delegate that power to a governor, to a election commissioner, it can take it back. Because it's a power given exclusively to them, they can always take it back. And And when would they take it back? When they think something is irregular, something is wrong. Well, my goodness, there's so much wrong in Arizona that there's maybe 50 to 60 facts and about 200 affidavits that cry out for some kind of honest. So the minute that the state legislature takes it back, they can appoint anyone they want to do it. The idea that these people, you know, don't have the power to look at this is absurd. It would suggest that the federal government runs a presidential election. It doesn't. I know they want to. I know they want to violate the Constitution and have the federal government take over presidential elections. Article 2, Section 1, Clause 2 of the Constitution says that the selection of presidential electors, which is the presidential election, is governed by the state legislature solely. Supreme Court has made it clear as early as 1892 and as late as Bush v. Gore that that means they're supreme. The Congress can't interfere with them. The courts can't interfere with them. The Constitution did not give the decision to the courts. It gave it to the state legislature. So the state legislature is carrying out their duty. It's a legitimate vote. It's backing off this now for 6 months because they do not want anybody to look at these paper ballots. Before you even get to the machines, they don't want anybody to look at these paper ballots. Think of the following, Steve. Arizona reported not a single vote by a non-citizen. Yes, you should laugh. So our expert, the one we used, estimated about 38,000. Other experts, other litigants there, go as high as 60 or 70,000. Once you get the ballot, you can check it against the Department of Motor Vehicle rolls because illegal immigrants are allowed to get licenses in Arizona. And you'll be able to see how many voted and where they voted. Those voters are completely illegal. Rudy, we'll see how many underage people voted.
Mayor, let me break this down for a second. You got the paper ballots, the forensic audit, and that's happening on the deck plates of the convention center. You've got the machines, and they've been scanned or whatever it is technically. And look, we're not machine guys, but we think it's got to be fully vetted and fully gone through. That's now they're somewhere going through that under supervision, right? The machines have been turned back. Got a lot of explosive news at 5 o'clock, and then again tomorrow morning. We're going to track down Mike Lindell. Just join us. Make sure you get to the podcast, Raheem Kassam's podcast. Hopefully Raheem will be back with us this afternoon or tomorrow morning. Okay. Thank you. Big show. Make sure you push out all the content. See you at 5.
War Room, Pandemic. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Christina, once again, if you could tell our viewers the latest that you have on the development of this passport, if you could explain that one more time.
Sure. So the county, Maricopa County, reported to the auditors today that they do not have the password to look into the administrative function of the machine. That's different than the actual normal everyday function. If you think of it like your computer, you know, a lot of people can log in as users, but very few people can log in as administrators. So when the auditors were examining the machines, they were examining it as a user. And then they reached the point where they needed the administrative password. And when they reached back out to the county was forced to acknowledge that they didn't have the password, which means they didn't have it for the election, which means they did not have any control over the machines for the election.
Welcome now with almost 51 million downloads on the podcast and, of course, live on John Frederick's Radio Network, Real America's Voice, and also Dish Channel 219, Comcast 113 on Real America's Voice, also in Roku, Pluto, in simulcast in Mandarin on GNews and GTV. Bombshell, forced to admit. We're going to bring in John Solomon in a moment. This is breaking, quite frankly, stunning news coming out of Maricopa County. Remember the baseless clown car audit that the mainstream media keeps talking about, keeps worrying about. Co-hosted today by Captain Bennett. Maureen, will you read the letter from the Maricopa County attorney to Mr. Ken Bennett, who's the liaison, the former Secretary of State of Arizona. Ken is the on-scene commander on all of this. Can you just focus, and we'll put, if the guys in Denver could put that up. Maureen, could you read the last paragraph in its entirety?
Additionally, you wrote me on April 30th, 2021, asking that the county provide additional passwords, usernames, and or security keys utilized with the county's precinct-based tabulators. The county has provided every password, username, and security key in its custody or control as commanded by the Senate subpoenas and does not have any others.
Okay, by the way, the very last paragraph. The rest of it about these routers we'll get into tomorrow. That's explosive enough. But you would think, given all the scrutiny, all the intensity, everything, and remember, we're not machine guys. We're the mail-in ballots, the illegal alien voting, the underage, the ghost voters, the people don't even live in the state. The canvassee is going to get a bunch of this. We got, you know, Peter Navarro says there's 245,000 minimum votes like that. And I think the number right now is around 10,000 or slightly under. But we said the machines need a thorough audit. And brother, they're getting it. But this is stunning that the administrative password, which we would need to kind of coordinate and to be able to administer, not a user. I want to bring in now John Solomon. John's been on this, on the voter fraud from the very beginning. He's one of the top investigative reporters in the country. John, and I got a big story in Eric Greitens out there, but I had to get you on for this. Brother, help me out here. I'm just gobsmacked by this. I just want to make sure everybody notes what Captain Bannon just read. The original letter went to them on April 30th, right? They've been scrambling and figuring out. Somebody's been pointing fingers at somebody. I'm sure somebody goes, well, give them the, I thought we sent over the passwords. Well, we don't really have these. So this has been, what, a week that Maricopa County has had this. And now you know why they went to court, and now you know why they fought all this stuff. John Solomon, your observations.
Well, listen, it's in a very unusual circumstance. If the county's representation is accurate, that they've turned over all the passwords and the admin password is not part of it, it means that, unlike my shop here where I have computers, I have an IT director, he has to have the admin password for those machines in order for us to do security updates, to make sure that there's no hacking going on, to install new software. And if the county lacked that, it raised the question, who was really in control of the administration functions of the machine? And if the county didn't have that, could someone else have been involved in the machine other than the county as the election was being carried out? Now, we don't have any evidence that anything went on, but it is a chain of custody. It is a control issue. And it's exactly the sort of thing that Kelly Ward, I brought her on my podcast today, John Solomon reports, and she said, listen, we're doing this audit because we don't know what we don't know. Let's find out everything. Let's make no predeterminations. Let's learn what we can, and then we'll make good recommendations on how to fix elections going forward. This is something that probably wasn't in anyone's mind when they started the audit, and now it's come up. It's exactly why the audit was being done, to learn, to grow, to get smarter, to make better elections. And I think today it looks like the Arizona Senate has found an interesting development that could affect the integrity of elections.
I want everybody to remember, one of the big things we do in the war room is nomenclature. John Solomon just said, I want to write a phrase down, we use it all the time, chain of custody. That's the same issue they're dealing with important. In Georgia, about 400,000 or 355,000 mail-in ballots from the local authorities. Still, the letter has not gone forward, certifying chain of custody. It's an issue in Antrim County. It's an issue up in Windham. It's an issue all over the country. Chain of custody. Remember, what the Biden and the Democrats say, count all votes. We're saying count all legal votes, all legitimate votes, all certifiable votes, all chain of custody votes, that you can follow the chain of custody. So John Solomon nails it right there. That's the buried lead. That's what we're going to be focused about. And you should understand, when they drop it in a last paragraph like that, oh, by the way, we've sent you everything we got. That is like exploding off the page, okay? There's going to be a lot. Heads are blowing up, you should know, out in Maricopa County and among tech people. John, I want to pivot now for a minute. If Denver could get up the Greitens thing, this is another one where they come out and, oh, yeah, there's some issues, and then John Solomon gets on it. Talk to us about what was reported yesterday about this with this attorney, this prosecutor, about the Eric Greitens situation, and then your story on Just the News that just went up a little while ago.
Yeah, very important development. So yesterday, late in the evening, the Missouri Supreme Court Office of Compliance, Legal Compliance, put up a list of new pending cases. And Kimberly Gardner, the St. Louis Circuit Attorney, people may remember her from the McCloskeys, the gun case out there before she was in controversy with the McCloskeys. She's the prosecutor, funded by George Soros, predominantly funded by George Soros. He was your primary source of political donations. He went after Greitens, accused them of basically sexual extortion of a girlfriend, and then went about and tried to prosecute him. And then when they got to the trial, after he's resigned as governor, you find out they didn't have the evidence. And in fact, they had withheld enormous amount of evidence of innocence, what we call exculpatory evidence, from the legal defense team. We knew this prosecution was flawed. Yesterday, when this thing shows up on the website, it means that the office of the chief disciplinarian, the main person that polices the conduct of lawyers, has concluded that there's probable cause that Kimberly Gardner, the prosecutor in the Eric Greitens case, the prosecutor in the McCloskey case until she was kicked off last December, engaged in professional misconduct. That's all you can make a determination from last night. Today, just the news obtained the actual written report of what the official disciplinarian found. And what did he find? She violated professional standards, professional conduct standards, 63 times, causing 79 false statements to be inserted into the court record or into the case.
Whoa. When John Solomon, think about that. When you're sitting there and they say John Solomon on line three, you know you got a problem. He gets the receipts. 79 false statements. Do I hear that correctly?
That's right. There are 79 times in the report where they call something that was represented by Gardner, her office, as false. False or falsely stated is what it says. 79 times. I mean, Mike Flynn was charged for one allegation of false statements, and that's in great dispute. And there's a missing FBI 302. This is not in dispute. 79 times. And the document is thorough. It says she represented this. We found this email. She represented this. We found her notes. She represented this. The prosecutors told us that. It is a devastatingly factual, it's actually a devastatingly boring report because it's so factual. There's no politics in it, but it really lays out a gross case of misconduct against one of the first local prosecutors that George Soros brought into office in 2016, takes out one of the rising stars of the Republican Party, a former Navy SEAL turned governor, Eric Greitens. And we're now learning nearly 3 years after that occurred that the case was not only fake and false, that it was built on professional misconduct, false lies over and over and over again in chambers, in the courtroom, in court filings. Even she lied, according to the document, to her own prosecution team, causing them to mislead the court. The level of allegations in this are very, very serious.
Now, I take it there's going to be some professional panel or something, but it seems to me, and look, I'm not a lawyer and I don't try to play one. Won't this lead to potential criminal charges for perjury or for making false allegations? Or isn't there some? Doesn't this get out of just the professional? She's got a problem to actual criminal charges here, potential criminal, or at least a criminal investigation.
There already is one, and her top associate on this, the former FBI agent she hired to be her private eye and investigate this. Here's one of the red flags early on. What she did. Normally, the St. Louis prosecutor uses the St. Louis police to investigate a criminal matter like what was alleged against Governor Greitens. In this case, she skipped the police and she went to a private FBI, a retired FBI guy who had his own checkered history. She uses him to engage the conduct. And the memo goes into all sorts of unusual behavior by them. They meet with this woman out of state. One interviews her, then the other one interviews. They lie about what they know about the interviews. But that FBI agent, that retired FBI agent, William Tisby, has already been charged with 7 felony counts of perjury and altering of evidence in the Greitens case. So her chief investigator is already indicted. There's a special prosecutor that is investigating Kim Gardner still. It's been delayed because the Tisby trial is delayed. But meanwhile, this evidence today becomes a roadmap, not that the special prosecutor probably needed it, but it's a roadmap for a future prosecution of her for misleading the court, engaging in perjury or suborning of perjury or false statements. It's a remarkable document. It also has another impact. Recently, Eric Greitens announced a comeback on the political trail. He's going to run for Senate in 2022 in the open Senate seat in Missouri. The media continues to call him a disgraced governor. I think when they read this document in St. Louis and in Kansas and Missouri tonight and tomorrow, the disgraced word is going to shift from Eric Greitens to this prosecutor. This case was made up. It's the Russia collusion case brought to the heartland. That's what happened.
We know that what you know in the Russia collusion case, epic work. Real quickly, you people about this for years. The Soros-backed prosecutors, right? Real quickly, got about a minute and a half. What has been the problem that's been overlooked with these Soros-backed prosecutors?
Well, he's using large sums of money to get local prosecutors elected who will follow his agenda. It's called the Justice and Peace Agenda. He's got a political action committee. But the real concern is what we saw in Washington in the 2016-2017 timeframe with the FBI and the Intelligence Committee, political weaponization of intelligence and law enforcement, taking political differences and somehow making them criminal. That's what the Greitens case reeks of. And I think George Soros' influence in being able to fund prosecutors, then have potential influence over them, is what concerns many people, particularly those who are conservatives.
Okay, there's so much news you're on top of all day long. How do people get, what's the social media coordinates? How do people track you down during the day and find you?
Thanks, Steve. Yeah, Jay Solomon Reports on Twitter, Facebook, Parler, and Cloud Hub, and justthenews.com is where we put all this breaking news day in and day out.
Okay, if you want to get to John Solomon, go to Real America's Voice. Thank you very much, John. Appreciate it. Top investigative reporter in the country. And on top of so many stories right now, this is a bombshell coming out of the Greitens situation. And look, obviously, we think the world of Eric. We've had him on here as a co-host many times. But this just shows you this is outrageous. 79 false statements. Also, we're going to get back to you before the end of the show. Bombshell in Maricopa County. Maricopa County, I like to call them, say it's baseless right now. There's not, totally baseless. A major development. A major development. The administrative passwords for the tabulator system. Hey, no gots. Okay. Well, the good news is they're grinding away at there. We've been telling you that it's a grind, and they're going very slowly, very methodically. We're the first ones to report. It's not going to get done by May 14th, and it shouldn't. It's going to take however long it's going to take. Anna Paulina Luna, next.
Everything's bigger, and you are over, 'cause we're taking